It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Martin, very good morning. Now, South Africa is establishing a green building council to fight climate change and global warming. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, South Africa is falling into line with green building councils that have been formed all around the world. In fact, there is a World Green Building Council. There are also green building councils already in Australia and New Zealand, and now South Africa will be coming into line. And at the background of this is all a bid by buildings and the building sector to save electricity and save water. And we know that the United Nations put out a report saying that the building sector uses about a third of the world's energy, and they need to take steps to try and reduce that in a sustainable way. And we see now this Green Building Council coming forward and wanting to have a rating system. At the same time, builders are already responding to this. We notice that the new Anglo Gold Ashanti building in Newtown Precinct is a green building. We also see that the BP building on the V&A waterfront is a green building. We find that there are movement-sensitive lighting situations. So if people move out, the lights go off, for instance. They also catch water coming on their roof and they retain it in tanks so that they can use it to irrigate and also for ablution, etc. So a lot of effort being made also at government level to retrofit and become a green building subsidy. Subsequently. So government's got about 100,000 buildings. They're doing retrofitting on that. Already 100 have been retrofitted. The idea will be to cut down on energy use and water use and everything else that adds to making sure that we have sustainable development.
A sugar giant has entered into a trailblazing 285 million rand land restitution deal, we're told, with black communities in the Mpumalanga province.
This is a very interesting land claim restitution deal. It really caught my eye because we got this impression of land claim restitution working this way. You know, a person makes the claim, normally a black farmer, and the white entity is forced to sell. That is the normal pattern. This needn't be. People need to use some more imagination and turn it into the type of deal that they've done out of Mpumalanga, which is TSB Sugar, which is part of Johann Rupert's Rem Grow. They've put their minds to this and turned it into a fantastic black empowerment deal that doesn't deny the community ownership of the land. The ownership of that land goes to the community, but it doesn't stop producing on that land. In other words, the company TSB can continue to produce sugar, but they pay the community for doing that. You have a win-win situation. You have a revenue stream coming into the community, a good strong flow of millions of rands coming into the community, and you also have the sugar production continuing. At the same time, of course, in the sugar industry, a lot of effort is being made to transfer land to the community. We have 16% of freehold land under sugarcane now transferred to previously disadvantaged farming communities, and also a target of 30% to be transferred by 2014. So slowly we have this land claims and the restitution and previously disadvantaged people coming into the situation, sometimes very imaginatively, as is the case with TSB Sugar.
And Transnet approaching the capital markets of the world to raise 25 billion rand for its massive capital expenditure program.
Yes, so Transnet going out into the capital markets of the world, going to raise 25 billion rand by way of a bond bonanza, which we haven't seen for a long time. Of course, Transnet doing this off a very strong balance sheet now. So they've got this firm financial platform on which to work. Go out to the domestic market. They've appointed Absa Capital and Rand Merchant Bank to implement the domestic program. And they will also be borrowing from global capital markets. This is for this very big expansion program which we see with Transnet now, more than half of it going into rail. And it is done against the background of, we've seen a lot of catch-up with Transnet, but we're entering now with Transnet a new era where they can get ahead of the game for the first time and offers very, very strong balance sheet. Just on the Spoornet side alone and on the locomotive side, we see a lot of action which we hope will lead to greater capacity of the rail. Something like 500 locomotives are now on the horizon. It was 400, it's gone up to an additional amount, more than 200 of them coming into the general freight business, and Transnet needs to get that general freight business arising so that we can get more of the freight off the road and onto the rail, and they have been declining there for some time, and it could have reached a tipping point now where we see they will start growing on the general freight business. More than 100 locomotives for the coal line line. So that's going to help coal exports a great deal, and more than 32 for the iron ore line. So we've got these export capacity building up, and also the general freight business starting to lift towards growth.
Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, thank you very much. And he'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday.